For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Bring your cares unto me.
From the Archbishop Fulton J. Sheen Center for Media Evangelization in Ewing, New Jersey, welcome to Come to Me with Jim Manfredonia. Stay tuned for an hour of talk, reflections, and meditations on topics that are important to today's Catholics. And now, here is your host, Jim Manfredonia.
Well, a very good day to you, my friends. Welcome once again to Come to Me. My name is Jim Manfredonia. As always, it is a great joy to share this time with you every Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time, and we do repeat the program on those same days at 10 p.m. Eastern Time, as well as coming to you on our YouTube channel, youtube.com/domesticchurchmedia. Also coming to you video on our Facebook page at facebook.com/domesticchurchmedia. And all of our platforms, you know, and more people are beginning to listen on these other devices. You know, it used to be terrestrial radio, and you had an AM or FM, and that's the only way you could hear us. But now, of course, we have streaming audio from our website, on our free mobile app. If you have the free Domestic Church Media mobile app, you can watch the program because our YouTube channel is on there. You can listen to the stream anytime, day or night, 24/7. And these home speakers are becoming very, very popular, the Amazon Echo device, as well as the Google Home Assistant device. We're there as well. So you can listen anytime, 24/7, on those devices. You know, things, my goodness, since we began doing Catholic radio, I've been doing it for almost 30 years, but here at Domestic Church Media for 2021, coming in our 21st year, technology has just dramatically changed. Whereas I said, the only way you used to be able to listen to us was on a terrestrial radio with an AM or FM. But now all these other ways. And it enables us to go around the world, literally does, because people listen. And I hear from people from other parts of the world who listen, either on our mobile app or our streaming audio or on those other devices I mentioned. So praise God, we're able to heed our Lord's great commission before he ascended into heaven to go out into the whole world and bring the good news. And that is why Domestic Church Media is here, my friends. That's why we are doing what we are doing. And that's why we ask you on a regular basis to please help us continue to do this. So thanks for being here today as we start our week together on this February 27th. It didn't feel quite like February. But and here we are, just a few days away from March, and spring's right around the corner. And I am so thankful and grateful to Almighty God that I'm able to be here with you and share this time with you. So we're going to today share some of our Holy Father's Angelus message from Sunday. He had been a bit under the weather over the weekend with mild flu symptoms, but still gave his Angelus teaching. And then a little reflection on conscience. You know, we talk about going to confession, which we all should be doing on a regular basis. But we're also required to have a well-formed Catholic conscience. And we'll talk a little bit about that. But first, my friends, we are going to pray. And as always, I invite you to join me wherever you are in prayer. And we are praying for all of your intentions, of course, especially today as we've been doing praying this deliverance prayer, parents' deliverance prayer. So important because the family is under horrible attack. It really is. And the devil wants to destroy every family. And it's a battle. You know, we are at war, a spiritual war. It's raging these days. You know, you think about all of the poor souls, and I say poor souls because they've put themselves in a spiritually precarious environment when you have the majority of millennial individuals, those who are the millennial generation, the Gen Xers, who willingly and willfully leave the faith. I've shared with you more times than I can mention how many prayer requests we get from parents who ask us to pray for their adult children who have left the church. And the world is very alluring, you know, and the world is attracting these people to replace the one true God with the gods of the world, the gods of money and power, prestige, and all these things that are of the world. So we have to pray. And we know that Jesus Christ, who was the great, great healer, can heal these souls, heal these hearts and minds, and bring them back. But the devil is very active, and through all his wily ways, he works on them. And so it's a constant struggle back and forth. That's why we pray this prayer. So let's begin now, my friends, as we begin all good things, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, I invoke the full authority you've given me as a spouse and a parent, and I lift any curses, spells, seals, hexes, vexes, consecrations, voodoo, or any occult action or any evil affecting me or my spouse or my children who are minors. In Jesus' name, I cast out all evil spirits that are harming us. In Jesus' name, I reject them, I rebuke them, I renounce them, and I cast them out. For my adult children, I beg you, Heavenly Father, to hear a parent's plea and free them from any of these occult actions or any evil, and cast out all evil spirits. Father, I beseech you to send a spirit of unity and peace to my family. Heal the divisions in our family. May those family members who are estranged from each other be reconciled in forgiveness and love. May we live together in your peace. I pray for special healing graces for each one of us. Heal the wounds that plague us. Heal any depression, anxiety, fears, compulsions, addictions, angers, resentments, and all and any mental and physical illnesses. Restore to full health. I especially ask for the following specific grace for my family, if it be your holy will. And now here, my friends, we can either pray out loud or in our hearts for those intentions that we bring to the Lord right now. Most of all, may you infuse into our hearts the gift of faith, always trusting in you. Bring back any of us who have wandered from the faith. May we be fully protected from all harm and evil by the shield of faith and the sword of truth. I make this parent's prayer in the holy name of Jesus, begging the powerful intercession of the Holy Family with the Virgin Mary and Saint Joseph and all the saints. Amen. And now, my friends, as Holy Father asks us to do, let's call upon St. Michael and our Blessed Mother, and with this specific intention that he asks us to pray these two prayers every single day to protect the church from the attacks of the devil. And we add to that intention to protect our families, our homes, and our country from the attacks of the devil. And so we pray, St. Michael the Archangel, defend us in battle, be our protection against the wickedness and snares of the devil. May God rebuke him, we humbly pray, and do thou, O Prince of the Heavenly Host, by the power of God, cast into hell Satan and all the evil spirits who prowl about the world seeking the ruin of souls. Amen. We fly to thy protection, O Holy Mother of God. Do not despise our petitions and our necessities, but deliver us always from all dangers. O glorious and blessed Virgin. Amen. And we pray, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, we love you. Pray for us. Venerable Archbishop Sheen, pray for us. Saint Pope John Paul II, pray for us. Our Lady of Good Remedy, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Well, again, my friends, I thank you for being here and for praying together. And, you know, we always conclude our prayer and have been for as long as I've been on the air, it's a long time, invoking the assistance of Our Lady under the title of Our Lady of Good Remedy, and it was Mother Angelica herself who told me to pray to our Blessed Mother under that title. You know, I'm very blessed. Cheryl and I are both very blessed in the work that we do and have been doing for so long now, that we had the opportunity to be in the company of and be commissioned by Mother Angelica herself, starting in 1996, the first time we met her. Was, again, almost 30 years ago, my goodness. But it was a very special meeting that Cheryl and I had. I think on our website somewhere, we have a picture from that night of Cheryl and me and Mother backstage at the Valley Forge Music Fair in Valley Forge, Pennsylvania, when Mother was still doing public appearances. Hard to believe, but she did. She would travel and speak. Give, you know, and someone had arranged for her to come to the Valley Forge Music Fair, which was a theatrical venue where there would be concerts and shows and things. Well, Mother came, and it was a theater in the round, and the stage would actually revolve. And I remember again, the beautiful, and I've shared this with you, but I think what it does is let everybody know that we are, Cheryl and I and all of us at Domestic Church Media, we are humble servants. It's not about us. It really isn't about us. It's the great commission from Christ himself, passed down through the generations. And Mother Angelica herself commissioned or encouraged us to do what we're doing and answer that great commission by Christ. And that night was the beginning of that wonderful relationship that we've had with EWTN for, again, almost 30 years. And Cheryl and I spent about a half hour, just the three of us, Mother Angelica, Cheryl, and me, just chatting. But, you know, there was something that happened that one night, so that was 1996, so our oldest son was 7 years old, and Angela was five, and Anthony was three. And we had a photograph of them. And Cheryl and I still talk about this. We, in our conversation with Mother, Mother was just standing there by herself. She had her arm braces. She was standing there by herself. We went in and introduced ourselves, and nobody else was paying attention to her, which was very odd, but the three of us spent about a half hour in conversation. And Cheryl took out a picture of our children and showed it to Mother, and she took the picture in her hand, both hands, and held it, and just kept, I'm going to say for more than a minute, was just looking at that photograph of our three little children as if she was, I'm sure she was, praying for them. And I always said that, you know, the devil would always have a hard time. He comes at me all the time. He's always trying to take me down, you know. But I know, through the grace of God, that I'm able to do my best to fight him off. But I said even then, when I first began this work, I said, the devil will, he'll try to come through me, but he's going to come through to us through our children. And I think Mother also saw that and was praying for that and saw in a very mystical way the attacks that our children would be under throughout their lives. And we are today. They are today. I mean, I'll be very honest with you. It's a very difficult situation we find ourselves in with a couple of our kids, and it's just a tough time. But I'm sure Mother today is still praying for that, and I invoke her intercession and her aid in our needs. But especially, my friends, that we can continue to do what we are doing here. It is so vitally important that we have this apostolate 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, continually broadcasting the gospel message. And right now it's tough. I have to be honest with you. We had a great radiothon back in December, and that's carried us through these first few months of the new year. But we're getting down to, again, where we find ourselves. And we have a spring radiothon coming up in April, Easter week, where we're going to, again, reach out, cast the nets, and ask people to help us in any way they can. The only way we can do this. So I ask you, please, in this season of prayer, fasting, and almsgiving. To please prayerfully consider making Domestic Church Media a recipient of your Lenten almsgiving and Easter almsgiving when in that first week in Easter, the Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Easter Wednesday, Easter Thursday, Easter Friday, where we'll come to you once more and ask you to look within your heart and help us. Right now, and I've mentioned the need we have here, we have to replace one of the doors here in the building. And it's not just putting on a new door. It's the entire frame. It's rotten and it's corroded. It's falling apart. We've put it off for a long time. But it is going to cost us $3,400. We had a wonderful donor who already has contributed $100 toward that. But it is not budgeted for. And our budget is very, very tight because, you know, we count on you to support us. So it's a very tight budget. And I'm just throwing out there again. I told our bookkeeper, Tammy, I said, you know, we received a $100 donation toward that. I'm still casting the nets for the rest. So the Lord is asking me, put your nets out into the deep. So I do that here to kind of ask you, please, to prayerfully consider helping us out in whatever way you can to help us replace this door. We had to put a $1,600 down payment on the deposit on the door itself, and the gentleman came out last week to measure, but we still need $3,400 to pay for it. So pray about that. It'll be a wonderful Lenten sacrifice. And if you want, you can go online at domesticchurchmedia.org and make an online donation, or you can send a check to Domestic Church Media. Our address here is P.O. Box 7509 Trenton 08628, P.O. Box 7509 Trenton 08628. Again, all your gifts are tax deductible as allowed by law. Or if you say you want to help me and you can help me out, you want to shoot me an email and say, Jim, I'm putting a check in the mail, let me know. I'd love to hear from you, Jim, at domesticchurchmedia.org. That's Jim at domesticchurchmedia.org. Okay, so let's go to the Holy Father Sunday. Again, he was still feeling a little under weather on Saturday. He canceled his public appearances, and they said he had mild flu symptoms, no fever, so that's good news. But on Sunday, he was back in public view for his weekly Angelus. And, of course, he was reflecting on the gospel from Sunday, the second Sunday in Lent, Mark's account of the Transfiguration. And the Holy Father described the apostles' mountaintop experience with Jesus as a transformative moment where Christ physically manifests himself there in all his light. Pope Francis said the Transfiguration sums up all of Jesus' works up until that point of his ministry while foreshadowing his passion. Holy Father said the preaching of the kingdom, the forgiveness of sins, the healings, and the performed signs were indeed sparks of a greater light, namely the light of Jesus. And he stressed that it is an event that reminds all Christians that God is light, which allows us to seek his face that is full of mercy, fidelity, and hope. In this way, we can keep Christ fixed as a singular point of reference as we journey through life. We as Christians, my brothers and sisters, as Catholics, you know, we look at our life here as a journey. I look back a lot now in my elder years. I don't feel this old, but I will be 70 years old in December. I don't feel that old, thanks be to God. And I have Lord has let me, given me and blessed me with a good memory and able to retain it for the most part. And I can think back to many, many events in my life, events that have, as I see the pieces being put in place, leading me up to where I am spiritually. There have been some, obviously, setbacks, as we've all had those spiritual setbacks in our life, right? But if we keep focus, as Holy Father said, to keep focus as on Christ, who is our light, the light guiding us, leading us, and to whom we are continually journeying, he walks with us, that we live and act and do everything in this life that we can to ensure we stay focused on Christ and his light that guides us and leads us home into eternal happiness. That's the bottom line. And the Holy Father said, always keep the luminous face of Christ before our eyes. Never direct your eyes away from the light of Jesus. And this is, I think, today one of the saddest things that we see in our culture, in our world. Especially since so many younger men and women, even with families of their own, have turned away from the luminous face of Christ. How many people do you know, I know, that are of that millennial Gen X generation, those generations, with children of their own, who were raised in good, holy Catholic homes, educated in the faith, both at home and through a formal education, whether it be Catholic school or CCD programs, made their sacraments, who have just turned away. And why? Why? Because Satan, who is very active in the world, let's face it, Satan, Lucifer, was an angel of light. And he can come in many guises. And he will do anything in his power to lure people away from the true light, who is Christ himself, and toward a false light, the light of the world. And I'm talking about those things that are of the world, not Christ, but Jesus himself said that Satan is the prince of this world. And we have to be Christ's light in this world. Jesus said, you are the light of the world. That's us, the true light that reflects the light of Christ. But Satan presents a false light, a light that will lead people away from Christ. You know, one of the great symbols of Jesus is the lighthouse. We're very blessed here in where we come from, here in New Jersey, to have a beautiful coastline. And on our coast, we have the Barnegat Lighthouse. We have the Cape May Lighthouse. And for as simple as they are, they're wonderful symbols of the light of Christ that guide souls into safe harbor. You know, anybody who is a mariner or who has, been a sailor, and even if you have not actually been in those positions or those, hobbies and being a boater or something, but you know that the light of the lighthouse will always guide the vessel into safe harbor. And that's what Jesus does throughout the course of our entire life, guiding us and leading us into safe harbor, especially in times, as we all experience in our life, of turmoil, of interruption, of distraction, of all these things that can divert us away from the luminous face of Christ. But Holy Father said, never, never, never direct your eyes away from that light. He said, oops, sorry, a little bit hesitant here on my computer. Sometimes the old boy, as I said, he gets in the middle of these things. The Holy Father suggested that this encounter with the living God is done principally through prayer, listening to the word, the sacraments, especially confession and the Eucharist. But he underscored the sacramental dimension is also a deeply personal human element. It is a call for the faithful to seek God in one another, noting that it can serve as a Lenten resolution that enables us to become seekers of the light of Jesus. But it also helps to look people in the eyes, Pope Francis said, learning to see God's light in everyone and cultivating the ability to marvel at the beauty that shines in each one, without exception. In those close to us, in those who we do not know, in the happy gazes of those who are joyful, and in the tears of those who are sorrowful, in the sad and dimmed eyes of those who are tried by life, and of those who have lost their enthusiasm, and even in those whom we find it difficult to look in the face, preferring to turn away. Well, Pope Francis reminds us, you know, that we have to remember, my friends, that even in each other, we are called to see the light of Christ. Every person created is created in the image and likeness of God. Every single person, even the most, well, the people who have done the most horrible things in the course of human history, were created in the image and likeness of Almighty God. And let's face it, we're all sinners. Most of us, majority of us, don't fall into those sins that are so horrendous that you become, that are so dark. But that's the world. When once sin entered into the world, Satan has been continually active in trying to lure these children of God away from him, away from God. So Holy Father reminds us. And, you know, that's one of the reasons, again, I say it all the time, but that's one of the reasons why we are here. We are here to enable people to encounter Jesus. Not the Jesus that's presented, you know, erroneously by mainstream media, secular media, you know, and you know, the only, sadly, the only time you hear the name of Jesus on television or in films or things, most of the time, majority of the time, is in vain. But we are here to present the living Christ to as many people who are in need, especially. You know, Jesus himself said that. I came for the sick. And I always pray that there are people who either find us by accident or who kind of gravitate to this but are a little hesitant maybe and don't want to admit they listen to Catholic radio. You know, your car is like a sanctuary. Your windows are closed. You're driving by yourself, perhaps. No one knows you're listening to Catholic radio, but you've just created for yourself this beautiful little sanctuary where the Word of God is being proclaimed and you're encountering Christ in a special way. I am just a mere humble instrument. It's not me. I think back to when I first began this program. It'll be 29 years in November, and I started on a station down in Camden, New Jersey. I was buying time myself just to do this, and I was thinking of a name for the program, and I at my desk at work where I worked, I had a picture of the Sacred Heart, and the words on the bottom of the picture said, "Come to me." And I remember when I first began, even I hadn't even done my first program yet, but I was recording spots to promote it on the radio station. The producer, and I was saying, "Come to me." And he said, "No, don't say come to me. It's come to me. It's not come to you, Jim. It's come to Jesus. So don't emphasize the me." It's true. This isn't come to me. I just want to be the instrument. I want to be the hollow tube through which the Holy Spirit can communicate to you. I open my heart up. I open my time up. I open as much best I can to eliminate everything that is me and let God work. Because I want you to know and love Jesus. I want you to encounter Christ. I want you to see that light by which you can live and be guided through this life to keep your steps firm and straight so that we don't trip up. You do that. I do that, you know, especially now as I get older. You know, it's nighttime and maybe you're in an unfamiliar territory in a parking lot or someone else's driveway or something. And what I thanks be to God, we have these iPhones now with the flashlights on them. Take out the flashlight and shine it on the ground to guide the way, to lead the way. And that's exactly what Jesus does for us in this life. keep that light shining so that he will lead us and guide us along the path of life so that one day we can be with him forever in heaven. I'll take a break, my friends, and when I come back, we're going to talk about forming our conscience. So stay where you are. I'll be right back. A lot more to come. Don't go away. Have you downloaded the Domestic Church Media app for all your mobile devices? It's free and enables you to stay in touch with Domestic Church Media and all we have to offer. You can tune into our live broadcast 24/7 as well as listen to our archives and podcasts. And you can even watch our local DCM programs live on our YouTube channel or watch the archive programs all on your phone or tablet. In addition to all things DCM, you'll also have so many other resources right at your fingertips. The free Domestic Church Media mobile app also gives you the daily mass readings, the liturgy of the hours, numerous common prayers and novenas, and daily saints of the day. And that's not all. The Domestic Church Media mobile app also includes the complete catechism of the Catholic Church, the entire Bible, as well as multiple Catholic periodicals and newspapers like the National Catholic Register, Our Sunday Visitor, and so many others. Plus, you'll have access to all our local diocesan newspapers and so much more. Go to your app store today and download the free Domestic Church Media mobile app. We know you'll love it.
What have you done for your marriage today?
I gave a huge hug this morning, like a really big squeeze.
She got a really short haircut that she hated, and I wrote her a note and put it up on the mirror saying that she was a cute girl with cute hair.
I got him mustard and mayonnaise for his sandwich when we were having lunch.
Today we've actually organized a date night tonight.
And silverware and napkins. Wasn't that wonderful?
What have I done for my marriage today?
Wow, that is a great question.
I took the baby while she worked.
I suppose I didn't yell at him for anything at all.
I got up with the baby while he slept.
Yeah. I have carried my wife's purse.
What have you done for your marriage today?
What have I done?
I listened to my wife when we talked on the telephone today.
Well, I've done today what I usually do, and that is obey.
She really likes it when I listen.
What have you done for your marriage today? Little things can make a big difference. For ideas, go to foryourmarriage.org. A message from the Catholic Church.
Bishop Robert Barron on the priesthood.
For the first 1,000 years, there were married priests within the church. There still are married priests under certain circumstances, you know, so it's not absolutely necessary. However, I'm a supporter of it, and I wouldn't want us to move in the direction of kind of a, hey, you know, optional, some do it, some don't. I get it. And I go back to Paul, and it's Paul's words that are actually in the ordination ritual, you know, about an undivided life, a total gift. I have nothing but the greatest respect for married people. In fact, when I hear the term heroic sanctity, when they talk about saints, I think of parents right away, you know, who give themselves to their kids. But there's something, I think, pure and simple and undivided about the life of celibacy. It's a radical conformity unto the celibate Christ. Why am I celibate? My ultimate answer, because Jesus was, and I'm conformed to him.
The leading Catholic voices are on EWTN Radio.
It started like it does for many people, question my faith and question authority. And I feel that the reason why I left was the draw of the world. The world was pulling me away. Some people would say, you know, Satan was working on me. He did not want me in church. He wanted me to be desperate. He wanted me to have the thoughts of suicide. I started to realize that a lot of the things that I experienced in my life were a result of my rebellion against God and against authority. Coming back to the church is the first step in healing from all of the hurts of the world. I went from being desperate and in despair to finding hope and encouragement for the future. I'm on God's team. I know who I belong to, and I know where I'm going, and there's nothing that can separate me from God's love.
Take another look at the Catholic Church. Visit CatholicsComeHome.org today.
Hello, I'm Bishop David O'Connell of the Diocese of Trenton, and this is a Eucharistic moment. Our Catholic faith and teachings draw their inspiration from and rely upon the Word of God as the source of their truth. The Holy Scriptures, both in the Old and New Testaments, are filled with constant accounts of God's presence among us. The New Testament Gospels, of course, center on the mystery of God's incarnation in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. The whole of Holy Scriptures lead us to the moment at the Last Supper, when the Lord Jesus took bread and wine, only become his very body and blood, blessed, broken, and given to the disciples and through them to all of us throughout time. Do this in memory of me. Before he ascended to the Father, Jesus said, "Observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the world." The Eucharist is the way Jesus Christ is with us always, and is our central belief, a mystery, a sacrament, and the source of life.
Do you love praying for people? Have you ever wanted to use your gift of prayer to share Jesus with others and build up the body of Christ? Start a public prayer station with St. Paul Street Evangelization. Listen to people's needs, pray with them, or invite them to meet you at church. St. Paul Street Evangelization can help you get started. Find out how at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
Well, welcome back on this lovely February 27th, and I hope you're having a blessed day. Thanks for taking some time out of your day to share it with me and all of our family gathered here at this time. It's hard to believe we're at the end of February, and of course there's an extra day this month because it is leap year. So we have two more days to February, and then of course the first of the month, Friday, March 1st. It is First Friday, and I hope you can join us because he's back. Bishop O'Connell will join us, and he is going to grace our airwaves at 3 o'clock on Friday. And, you know, we do repeat the program at 4 o'clock on Saturday and also 10 a.m. on Sunday. So Bishop hasn't been here for a while because of scheduling conflicts and things. Last time I think he was here, it was in November. December, we had our radiothon, so we didn't have it then. In January, he was in Rome and had his little incident there, so I'm sure he'll tell us about that. And then last month, he's still in recovery. So anyway, I did communicate with the bishop this morning, and he will be here Friday for the Shepherd's Voice. So I hope you can join Bishop O'Connell at 3 o'clock. And then, of course, Cheryl and I will be here at 4 with Friday Live. And we have back joining us for his Lenten series, Father Stephen Imbarato, who has been with us now for a few weeks. And then also joining us will be Anthony DiStefano, who's been a guest with us. He's an author with a brand new book on the Easter Bunny, but not from the angle you might think. It's not a secular Easter Bunny. He's going to kind of explain Christian roots there. So anyway, we'll have music and talk, all kinds of stuff. Join us at 4. And then at 6 o'clock, Bill Maher and Jez Ford, brothers in arms, want to hear all about the men's conference that took place this past weekend. I'm sure they'll share that with us as well. So thanks for being a part of our domestic church media family, my friends, and thank you for allowing us to be a part of your day. We appreciate that. I'm going to talk about conscience. I was yesterday in conversation with God. Father Fernandez did a little reflection on the light of the soul, conscience, the light of the soul. First, though, let me, I know it's not Catechism Day, but we're going to go to the Catechism of the Catholic Church. And this is from Part 3, Section 1, Chapter 1, Article 6, where the Catechism talks about moral conscience in paragraph 1776. Well, that's an easy paragraph to remember if you're an American. 1776. Our Catechism states, deep within his conscience, man discovers a law which he has not laid upon himself, but which he must obey. Its voice, ever calling him to love and to do what is good and to avoid evil, sounds in his heart at the right moment. For man has in his heart a law inscribed by God. His conscience is man's most secret core and his sanctuary. There he is alone with God, whose voice echoes in his depths. Moral conscience presents at the heart of the person enjoins him at the appropriate moment to do good and to avoid evil. It also judges particular choices, approving those that are good and denouncing those that are evil. It bears witness to the authority of truth in reference to the supreme good to which the human person is drawn, and it welcomes the commandments. When he listens to his conscience, the prudent man can hear God speaking. Now, when I was growing up, and I've been very blessed, my parents were so good, they educated all five of us in Catholic schools right through high school. Of course, I was blessed to be able to go to Catholic University at Seton Hall. But I remember my earliest days in the early 1960s, we had these fully habited Carmelite nuns who were teaching us. You didn't mess around with them either. But I still remember being taught about forming your conscience. Now, God places in every person this innate desire, this what even the catechism says, this is not ours, it's not there by our doing. It's God who placed this there, knowing good from evil. We talked a little bit last week about the age of reason. When I was growing up, and I'm assuming it's still the same, I mean, people haven't changed, the age of reason being 7 years old, where an individual at that age will know and understand right from wrong because God has placed that in our understanding, in our being. The church, who has been, Christ has revealed to his church all of his teachings, the church helps us to form that conscience and have a well-formed conscience. Now, sadly, we live in times where people just don't have any awareness of that. They don't have an awareness of, you know, what it's been inverted by the culture. It's been inverted by the enemy. What was once good is now evil. What was once called evil is now good. I mean, you just can go down a whole list of things. So conscience is such an important part of our lives. And let me just share with you some of what Father Fernandez wrote. He said, "We all need to form for ourselves a true and refined conscience, which readily listens to the voice of God in everyday matters. Doctrine, as regards the knowledge of moral and social teaching, and life, the effort to practice the Christian virtues, are two essential requisites for educating one's conscience. On occasion, faced with the gray areas that are not unfamiliar in our professional work, we have to consider the situation in the presence of God. Whenever necessary, we should insist on receiving the best and most opportune advice from those who can clarify such matters for our conscience, and then put into practice the decisions we have made on our own responsibility. We learn to be sincere with ourselves in the general and particular examination of conscience, to call our errors, weaknesses, and faults against generosity by their real names, without masking them with false justifications or disregarding them as non-issues. A conscience which does not recognize its faults leaves man at the mercy of his own caprice." And we all know the term examination of conscience, make a good examination of conscience. You know, you go online, you can Google Catholic examination of conscience, you'll come up with all kinds of different examinations. We can make them, should make them, especially before confession. As I said, if you pray night prayer, and I highly encourage that, it's a great way to end your day from the divine office, the night prayer, which begins with an examination of conscience and a penitential rite. What a great way to end the day, to really go over your day. Let's face it, we all fall short. You try not to, but we do. Sometimes, unfortunately, in grave ways, most times in less grave ways, trivial, not trivial, but of course the church calls it venial sin. And then we have the penitential rite, and we pray in night prayer. But it begins with an examination of conscience, and we should all get into the habit of doing that. Because in so many cases today, people's consciences have been dulled, numbed by the culture to believe that certain things are no longer a sin. This is okay to do this now. It's more acceptable now. Whatever that might be, you can go down a whole laundry list of things that were once considered evil that today the culture promotes as good. Father writes, every traveler who is serious about wanting to reach his destination must know the route clearly. He is grateful for clear signposting. Although these pointers may, at times, indicate a narrow path through a more difficult terrain, he will steer well clear of routes which, although seeming to be quicker or less arduous, lead nowhere or to a precipice. We ought to have a great desire to form our conscience well, for it is the light that enables us to distinguish good from evil. It enables us to seek forgiveness and to find our way back to the true path if we have not lost sight of it. The Church offers us the means, but she does not exempt us from the effort required to use these means responsibly. And there again is the image of the light. Conscience is the light that enables us to distinguish good from evil, to shine light on truth. You know, when... when Cheryl and I first got married, many years ago now, back in 1985, we got married, December of 85. Within a month, I was offered a position. I was at the time working for FedEx. Then it was called Federal Express. But I was working for FedEx in customer service as a representative in a call center environment here in New Jersey. And we got married in December, the end of December, December 28th, and we came back from our honeymoon. Our honeymoon was in Rome. I came back to my job, and I was praying one day. I was just feeling down because I thought, okay, I have a wife, and I'm working as a customer service agent with an hourly wage. I got to do better than this. And I had applied for a few managerial positions, didn't get them in a minute. But there was they had a quiet room for the employees. And nobody was allowed to talk. You just sat in this low light room in a comfortable chair, just to kind of come down from doing customer service work on the phone. Sometimes can be a bit trying because especially if the customers are calling to complain, you're the sounding board. And I remember just being in that room with my eyes closed, thinking, Lord, you got to help me here because I have a wife. I got to do better. And there was a tap on my shoulder, literally a tap on my shoulder. And I turned around, and it was my manager. And she said, there's a phone call for you from the senior manager out in Arizona. Oh. And I got on the phone. The gentleman said, I was at your interview. I was very impressed. Would you like to come out for another interview, a second interview? I said, sure. Can I bring my wife? He said, sure. So your wife flew out to Arizona in mid-January of 1986. I interviewed. I was offered the job, and FedEx, they wanted me there, right away. So we had a real quick pack up and move on. My point is that we rented an apartment. We didn't see it. We had rented it from here. We saw an ad in the paper just said we needed some place to live, so we rented an apartment. The day we got to Arizona, we found out our apartment was smack dab in the middle of Arizona State University areas. There's a lot of kids, and it was just noisy. And anyway, the apartment had roaches. Did you ever have roaches? I mean, this apartment had a lot of roaches. And they weren't like little roaches here in the East Coast. They were big. You could put a leash on them and walk around the block with them. They were big, gigantic roaches. But you never saw them. You never saw them until at night. You get up, get a drink of water or something, and turn the light on, and they all scatter. I mean, they move fast, and they go back to their hiding places. That's the culture. When you shine the light of truth on the culture, they scatter and go back to their hiding places. But they're still there. The evil is still there. Evil can't stand light. We have to examine our conscience in a way that dispels all of that rationalization, that justification, and gets them out of there. Because that taints a conscience. That numbs a conscience. The world will continually tell us, oh, this is okay now. That used to be a sin, but it's not a sin anymore. That kind of stuff. We need the light of truth shined on and in our conscience. Father says, in our prayer today, we can ask ourselves, do I dedicate sufficient time to my religious formation? Or do I allow myself to become absorbed by the other things that fill each day? Do I have a plan for reading, reviewed in spiritual guidance, which will help me make progress in doctrinal formation according to my age and background? Am I faithful to the magisterium of the church, knowing there I find the light of truth rather than the contradictory opinions I often come across in matters of faith, social teaching, etc.? Do I try to get to know the teachings of the popes and to make them known? Do I respect them with piety and docility? Do I frequently rectify my intentions, offering up all my actions to God, taking into account our tendency to seek applause, recognition, and praise for what we do? Am I constantly aware that this is often where the deformation of one's conscience begins? Father said we need light and clarity, both for ourselves and for those around us. This is our big responsibility. The Christian has been placed by God as a lamp to light up for others the way towards God. Think about that, my friend. This is your vocation, my vocation. The Christian has been placed by God. You're placed where you are. It's by no accident that you are where you are right now, or me, or any of us. We Christians, placed by God as a lamp to light up for others the way towards God. I got an email today from a friend, high school friend. You know, I've shared with you, I have probably about 10 or 12 of us from high school. We went to St. Peter's in New Brunswick, since closed. Now it's closed. Now there's a big hospital there or something. Still been in touch and communicate. We get together, every, you know, once or twice a year. And I'm going to say more than half of these friends left the church. They don't go to Mass. They don't practice their faith, although raised in good Catholic homes. They were sent to Catholic school by their parents back in the 70s and 60s. We've known each other, most of us, since grammar school, St. Peter's Grammar School. I got an email today from one of them, and it was forwarded to me from another one of these individuals, these two, I'm going to say two gentlemen. And neither one of them has been to Mass in years. I know that. And I was having breakfast as I was reading these emails, and I'm thinking, am I doing enough for these guys? They know what I do. They respect me. They tolerate me. They don't agree with what I do, but that's between them and God, I suppose. But I also have an obligation to be a light. Because, as Father says, we've been placed by God as a lamp to light up for others the way towards God. We ought to educate ourselves to face the rush of people who are going to press upon us with a specific and urgent question. Well, then, what must I do? Children, relatives, colleagues, friends, they all look to our behavior, and we have the responsibility of leading them to God. And so that blind person's guide is not himself also blind. It is not enough to have the secondhand knowledge of mere hearsay. To lead our friends and relatives to God, a vague and superficial knowledge of the root is not enough. We need to have walked it ourselves. It is essential for us to have close dealings with our Lord, to get to know His doctrine better, to struggle against our own specific defects. In a word, it means making progress ourselves in interior life, an example. And St. Gregory said, whoever has the mission of proclaiming great things is also under obligation to practice them. You know what? I feel that every day. And only if we personally put things into practice will we be effective when we come to talk about them. When Jesus Christ wanted to teach his disciples how to acquire a spirit of service to one another, he wrapped a towel around himself and washed their feet. This is what we have to do. To make Christ known, we ourselves have to be exemplary in our daily obligations, putting into practice the doctrine of our Lord. So first, we examine our conscience. We shine the light of truth each day. And this is why I highly, again, I can't say it enough, recommend night prayer. If you don't pray night prayer, part of the divine office, it doesn't take long at all. But it's a great way to end your day because it begins with an examination of conscience, where we look back over the course of our day and we see where we have failed, the things we have done, and the things we have failed to do. And we then pray the penitential rite that's included in night prayer. And again, shining the light on our conscience to strengthen it, to better form it, so that we can be that light of Christ in the world, especially with those immediately around us, family, friends, acquaintances, as an example, leading them to Christ, whether it be overt or covert by example. I'm not sure what my friends, those who have left the church, really think. We never really discuss it, faith, but they know what I do, and I'm very open about it. And there are others in our group that do and have, you know, remained in the church, and you know, so we talk about things. But it's just being that example. But it all first begins with us having a well-formed conscience, knowing right from wrong in order to live our faith effectively. My friends, I got to go. I hope you have a great rest of your day. Thank you for being a part of my day. Let's pray for each other. I'll be with you again tomorrow, God willing. My name is Jim Manfredonia. God bless you, and God love you. In me.